Welcome to the Mucked Up My Self-Care podcast.
I'm Jill from New York.
And I'm Linda from Tasmania.
We are two moms from opposite sides of the world who are living, demonstrating, and helping moms across the world build their self-care asset bank.
Ready to dive in? Messy, interrupted, imperfect, and most of all, mucked up. Let's get going.
Hello.
Good morning. Good evening.
Morning. All of
you. Yes. How are you? I'm good. Yes, good. It's been a couple of rainy days, so I've had a pretty quiet, snuggly. I was in my pajamas. I think I had a shower to get into my pajamas at like 10 a.m. yesterday.
Well, that's a day I like.
Why not? Why not? So that's my high. There you go. Pajama days are the best. I've actually got it on my calendar now.
Oh, fine.
Get into pajamas. So, and that's a Friday afternoon ritual now.
Awesome.
It's a really fun thing. So I like it. And a low, I think, just been feeling a bit flat with, I don't know if it's with the rain, just feeling like I've eaten a whole heap of junk food. You know that feeling you get of like a bit of a hangover after you eat a whole heap of junk food?
Mm-hmm.
Even though I haven't really eaten a whole heap of junk food, like at all, I've just got that sort of bleh feeling. So, yeah. Yeah. So
I can relate to that feeling.
What about you? Highs, lows, all the stuff in between?
Let's see. I think my high is something super simple. We went and had dinner at my parents' over the weekend. So that was really enjoyable to spend time with family and just do all fun dinner stuff and conversation and catch up on stuff, which was very nice. So kind of filled my social cup for the week and feeling good. But see, my low is I've been really behind on my Bible reading, and my goal for the year was to read the Bible in a year. So I'm supposed to be reading every day, and I took like a week off, and kind of feels like how you're feeling with your flat. I kind of feel that with not reading. So I can resonate in a different kind of a way, but similar.
So. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Here we are.
And that's part of, I guess, what we're doing and part of the the self-care. And mm-hmm. when it's in that dip, we really do notice it, I think, as
and
well.
Like picking ourselves back out of that, because I mean we've both been in places where we haven't been able to practice our self-care, mm-hmm. and not really knowing what that self-care is, and now we know, and it's like we're still going to have that roller coaster ride, even though we have the wisdom that we have now and we've grown mm-hmm. so much. So, it's kind of like we know how healing the self-care is, that we notice it so much more when there's just something missing in what we're doing. And getting back into it, it's like, okay, I know what I've been slacking on this week. Let's get back to it, because I know how good it was for me. And what is that going to look like now trying to get it back?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it is a continual healing process, right? We've grown all of these ways since we began, but doesn't mean that we're still not mucking up. Otherwise, it'd just be really kidding ourselves that we'd have times where we're on our A game 100% as well. So important to say out loud, I think, and recognize. I'm sure we're not the only ones at all. So when we are navigating, I guess, some of that healing and what that looks like, what do you want to say out loud, I guess, for other people to help normalize as part of your outspoken mama, mama outspoken. Self-care is, I know, something we're both passionate about, but especially for you with some of the journeys that you've been on recently, what do you think you want to say out loud in order to normalize?
So, something that we've touched on, but I don't feel that we really linger on, is the selfishness feeling that we get. Like, we talked about guilt a lot, and that's a little bit, I think, different, but like how selfish it feels to take time for ourselves to do something, or that we're filling our cup. And I think that's like what we need to really normalize, is that yes, you do come first, because how can you put others above yourself if you can't take care of yourself first? And I think that's really important when it comes to the healing aspect with self-care. Is sure, we can heal ourselves and be like, you're doing all your fitness stuff, but you count that as self-care, but it's really healing your body. I'm on the nutrition path right now. I don't find that self-care for me, with trying to figure out the right nutrition. I mean, it's obviously self-care. It's a lot of healing. I'm not finding that joy in preparing my food and going food, like all the stuff around that.
You're like, oh my gosh.
But you're finding that joy in getting out, moving your body and all that fun stuff. And I know my joy comes from what follows the nutrition. And I'm seeing that in the results of being healed in a different way than I've ever experienced it. So it is selfish. I mean, I've changed my entire family's meal plan. Like, I'm trying to go gluten and dairy free, but I've made my whole family go dairy and gluten free because I'm the one cooking. So it's very selfish on that part, because I'm not making four dinners for everybody that lives in my house. I'm making one. And if you like it, you like it. If not, you can find something else to eat. Great. Good for it. So I think we need to not feel guilty about that little bit of selfish part, because everyone's grateful that I'm making dinner for them and they're going to go ahead and eat it, because we all need to eat dinner when I make. And I'm sorry, I've made it gluten-free and you don't like the pasta that it is, but it's still tasty and we'll go for it. I don't know. Weird stuff like that. We'll see how.
Yep.
But it's the selfishness that's behind it that we just got to, like, get past, I think.
Yeah. I know on one of our future episodes, we're going to be talking about some of the myths behind self-care. And I think that selfishness aspect comes up a fair bit when we're talking about healing ourselves and self-care in general, because it needs to be a little bit about prioritizing what is good for you and what, well, cooking and doing all the preparation and the change and the transition might not be that comfortable right now for the nutrition side of things. You know that it's the best thing that you can do to essentially love yourself and in so many ways heal not only probably your body, but your relationship with food and what you're then showing the other people around you as well. So
yeah,
it's important to, I think, give to yourself what that's part of why I asked the question, is because the advice or the I don't really like giving self-care advice as such, because I think it can come across as it's the wrong word, but the suggestions that we talk about and the conversations we have on this podcast are very much for each other and for other people listening. But then if we're not living that and we're not giving ourselves the self-care that we need, it becomes, I think, a little bit hypocritical.
Oh, definitely.
But it's also easy to do.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Even this weekend, I questioned myself. I'm like, am I really doing, like, am I becoming one of those people that we see online that are really, you know, Instagram filtered? I'm like, I really need to make sure that I'm really am that living proof that I say that I want to be. So, and it came down to like my priorities, what priorities am I putting out? And it was a little bit of more self-care than I needed this weekend after a full week of work and high emotions, lots of melty going on, and like, okay, I think I need to sit on the couch and just be present with myself for a few minutes while everyone's napping or at work. But
yeah. And so that's, I guess, a lot of the self-regulation or reflection, that a lot of the healing component of that, because if we're looking at healing in a way, it's a step by step, little by little, bit by bit. It doesn't just happen miraculously and then we're all great at self-care and away we go. Because we all come with our own baggage, especially as we get to motherhood or this phase of life. We have stuff that we have brought with us. We have experiences. And so while you were talking about the selfishness component and self-care and those sort of things, our feelings and emotions and all of those things are quite internal, but they cannot remain entirely internal with others around us all the time. Like, they do come out as an external expression or experience, or with a lot of the other things that are happening around us. I'm not sure how much sense that made from my brain to my mouth to this time of night.
Let me ask you this. Are you thinking along those lines, like, when we know our energy leak is like really got us low on our cup, like, are there indicators to those that are around us saying, what's missing in you that you need to go take care of yourself? Like, something's off. What are those indicators that maybe you haven't been to the gym in a few days and you know you need to go lift or get energy out that way or replenish your energy? Or what's making me cranky that I need to probably go outside and go step on the grass barefoot, you know, like, and energize, get some sun? What is that little indicator? Is that what you're kind of referring to?
Yeah, so I think that indicator is a lot of our responsibility, because we are the ones who really probably need to tap into that. However, there are other people around us which will be aware generally when our self-care is low or when we're feeling quite hurt by a previous event or whatever other stuff that we've brought to the table. And that's relationships. That's part of what we experience. I don't think that's entirely avoidable. We can't think that self-care is only for ourselves and it doesn't then ripple out both positive and
definitely
to those around us.
When we're I'm not going to say when we're healed, because we're always going to be healing ourselves, but when our energy leaks are healed for the moment and they're, you know, you're able to fill yourself up with some self-care, you then become that best version of you, which does radiate through your actions and your words. So that does then go through to your family, to whoever you're working with, talking with. And when you are so completely depleted of that, it's going to show. It may not be visible to ourselves, which is why I think what your point is, that we need to start recognizing that in ourselves, so we can, because that can harm not just us, but all that we do as an extension of ourselves, in that same way that it would be helpful when we do have our cups full.
I also think when you have the time to just sit on the couch while people are napping or at work or those sort of things, those moments I think are important as part of our healing in order to reflect or even celebrate some of the ways that we have achieved self-care this week or this day or this hour. Because if we're busy, busy, busy on to the next thing, we both know what that's like, and there's not a lot of time to celebrate or even just speak out loud some of the things that are happening as well.
Yeah. So, when you go to make that decision, because I think making this decision to put something as a priority so you can get that time for reflection or celebration, I think that comes along with the quiet regardless, because it gives, we'll say if this weekend we had, I had a full morning of work and then nap took place and I was like, oh, should I do more work or should I relax a little bit? Because I've been going for hours and I made the decision to relax for a little bit so I could be better for later when everybody was around and be able to be sociable, because otherwise I was going to be cranky. So I, in my decision of we are going to sit and relax for a little bit, I could recognize and take that time for the reflection that I did work hard today. May not have felt it because it may not have all been work, but it was work on me, and that can be hard. And I had to say, and like, you know what, Jill, I deserve this right now to sit and relax because I did work hard today. This is going to be my little hour of self-care, regardless of how much time Declan takes for a nap. I will enjoy this tiny bit of time for me right now. And it forced me into that reflection and being able to celebrate that I made the decision to do this and not beat myself up over for it.
Yeah. Awesome.
Do you find that for yourself when you're doing those decisions, making those decisions too, Linda?
I've definitely got better. Excuse me. Yeah, I've definitely got better, I think, through a lot of these conversations, actually. These conversations themselves have been quite healing to realize that my beliefs I may have felt have been trampled in motherhood. Some of my core beliefs and values are still there. And I'll hear myself say something, I'll be like, oh, yeah, that thing. I'm so glad that I can articulate it sometimes. Maybe not so well tonight, but that's okay.
So what about these conversations and some of the other self-care things that you do make these things healing for you? Because we say this all the time, these conversations are self-care for us, like and self-care is healing. So what about this or some of the other things make it so healing for you?
The value that it provides in having human connections for me. So seeing myself as valuable, seeing how valuable you are, seeing how we have grown in our self-care, and seeing the healing in a way that gives us a confidence to achieve things and do things. And there's I definitely hear, we had an incident tonight where somebody did not want to go to the toilet before bed at all. And he was overtired and wanting to run around and scream and play with everybody else, and then just melted down completely. And just being able to sit in that without reacting, without getting caught up, and just while also staying really firm, saying, no, we are not going to bed until you wee. No, I'm not going to, this is a non-negotiable for me. You need to wee before bed. And so we eventually got there, eventually. However, that's a good example, I think, of how that healing can help me stand firm in saying this is part of the downline, if you like. So this event right now as a downline, because I know that then I'm not getting up in the middle of the night to change sheets.
Yeah.
I'm not having to worry when I'm going to sleep that he's going to wet the bed.
He won't be uncomfortable like when he does. Yeah.
Yeah. He's doing a better thing for his body by having a wee before bed. So I can further predict the self-care that takes place after that. And so that helps me stand more firm in that, even though he was very, very upset and very much saying, nope, I don't need one. And as soon as he sat down, eventually, once he calmed down enough, he was full, like, pipes are open. It was full wee. I'm like, really?
Yeah. That would have been good.
But I didn't say any of that. I'm just like, there it is. And off to bed we went. So, yeah, those sort of things. What about for you? How does that healing show up?
I think it's the confidence that we gain, especially through conversations like this. I feel more confident in making that decision after a long day of work, saying, no, I'm going to sit on the couch and just relax for a minute, or I'm going to go step outside and enjoy the sunshine and allow whatever was the other thing that I did not do to be set off because it didn't need to be done in that moment. So I think it's that awareness and the confidence to make those decisions.
Less guilt.
less guilt is the healing. The healing that comes from continuing to practice self-care and having these conversations. But it doesn't mean we get there when we first start. I mean, this has taken us together a year, and individually 11 years and 4 years. we know just the exact pain that figuring out self-care can bring in. Finding your groove, finding what works for you, and the things that will be healing and that can be healing. And I know we strive through these conversations and conversations outside of here to help people figure out those starter pieces.
Yeah. Yeah. So, pulling up the asset bank.
Yeah. So we have a very short list of those things. And if anyone listening or that you know someone who needs those, reach out to us at the email in the show notes, because they're easy for us to send over because we've been there.
We'd love to hear from you, of course. Fills our cup to know that we're reaching far and wide.
Sharing that, talking about it, not just ourselves, but anyone. And but we had one of those things that we wanted to share out loud today.
And that's the grounding, isn't it? I know Jill, you use a lot of this, especially coming into your summer.
Oh, gosh, yes.
The bare feet on the ground, in the grass.
For it to be warm enough to go outside barefoot. But grounding, bare feet in the ground, just connecting to the energy of the earth. There is so much scientific stuff behind it, which I don't have to share today. So if you have a moment, look it up. I just have reaped the benefits of it.
No, it works for you.
Yes. Very healing in whichever energy is coming from the earth. So highly recommend, because you're going to get vitamin D from the sun and all the other vitamins from just being outside and fun stuff, energizing you. So I know, Linda, you do a lot of outside things. You may not be doing them barefoot, but it's still probably a lot of grounding as well with all the climbing of trees and rocks and fun stuff that you're doing. So something easy you can do with the kids or without the kids.
Yeah, some of this rain has got a little bit greener because we were fairly dry and yellow at this end. It's been quite a dry summer, so it's good to see a bit of rain and green coming back again a little bit more. as we head into autumn. So, oh, so good to chat.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And until next week.
We hope you can unstack your mind.
Bye.
Bye.